The following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 8th, 2016. The title of the message is Paul's Gospel, the Gospel of Completion. Scripture verses are Matthew 24:14, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3a, chapter 16, verse 25, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 25.
Our desire that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Thank you for reaching us and bringing us to yourself. We join ourselves to your desire for all men, oh, to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Thank you this morning that we have some here out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation that you have reached and you have brought us together, Lord, oh, to worship you, oh, to be your body. And we pray, Lord, strengthen us in this commission, oh, to join you in this burden, to preach the gospel to all the nations. We just want to be one with you for your heart's desire. So we open ourselves again to you, Lord. This morning, speak to us. Speak through us. Be glorified. Amen. Amen. As Brother Dennis mentioned, this morning we're concluding this fellowship over this weekend on this conference that we are calling The Gospel to All the Nations for the One New Man. The Gospel to All the Nations for the One New Man. And I would like to start by coming back to a hymn that we enjoyed in the Lord's Table meeting. I was just inspired by this hymn. Actually, I was thinking, if we had more time, I'd like to sing it again. But I don't know that we'll take the time right now. And that is hymn 151. Hymn 151. It seems as if this hymn was written for this weekend. This hymn was written actually by a brother named Charles Sylvester Horn. And he was alive 1865 till 1914. So what he wrote here was a kind of aspiration for the bringing in of the kingdom age. But he saw it as something to remedy the present situation among mankind. And I wonder how joyful our brother would be if he could be here today with us singing this hymn at the present time. I'd like to read part of this. Sing we the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Righteousness, peace, then his empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. And part of verse 2. All men shall dwell in his marvelous light. Races long severed, his love shall unite. Isn't this the burden that we've been in this weekend? The Lord's love brings all the races, not only together, but unites them. And this is really the fulfillment of what we see is coming in full in the book of Revelation, that he has called men out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Amen. To have one voice. Praise the Lord. Well, the key verse in all the fellowship this weekend has been Matthew 24:14. Maybe we could read this verse again. I think we've been repeating this verse so often, probably many of us have committed this to memory already. We probably can declare this, but let's read or recite. And this gospel
of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Amen. Amen. This gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, something particular, not just the gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom says will be preached to the whole inhabited earth for a testimony. And then the end will come. And then the end will come. I believe in every believer, nearly in every believer, there is a longing, there is an aspiration for the Lord's return. Actually, from very young in my Christian life, this aspiration arose. And the ones around me, I was not in the local churches yet, but the brothers that I was with, there was this aspiration, this longing for the Lord's coming, for the Lord's return. A kind of twofold desire. One was because we just love Him and we long for Him and we long to see Him in full. But I think we also had another kind of desire, that is to clean up this mess in which we are. To clean up this mess. When you look at the news, when you read the newspaper, it seems everywhere it's just a mess. It's a mess in the families. It's a mess in the society. It's a mess between nations. And we know that the Lord's coming will answer this desire to bring righteousness. To bring righteousness. Well, when I was very young, I didn't know that we could actually cooperate with the Lord to hasten his return. You know, there is such a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Expecting and hastening the coming day of God. For many years, I was expecting, I was desiring, I was longing. But I was so surprised that in the Word, there's such a verse that says, not only expecting, but hastening. That just means make it come faster. Amen. And how can we cooperate with the Lord to make that day come faster? Right. Well, I believe we've seen really, in a sense, two things. We see from the parable in Matthew 25, from the parable of the 10 virgins. This parable shows us that we need to gain more of the fullness of the Spirit in our being. We need to buy more of the oil. That's Matthew 25. Buy more of the oil. That really means, saints, we need more of the salvation of our soul. We need more Spirit in our vessel. More Spirit in our vessel. The Spirit, or the oil is in our lamp. But we need more oil in our vessel. And by the growth in life, the Lord can accomplish His desire to have the building of the church, the body, the bride, for His coming. But that's one side. That's the internal side. There's another side. And also in Matthew 25, it tells us about this, that we need to invest our talent. Yeah. We need to serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord by ministering Him to others. And that lines up absolutely with Matthew 24. That is, we need to preach the gospel. But saints, this gospel must reach all the nations. Well, this weekend, we've thus far had three messages. I'd like to give you the titles to those three messages, and then we'll go on to complete this fourth one. The first one, very simply, based on this verse, was the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The second was the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. And thirdly, the structure of the gospel. This message is based on the book of Romans. The righteousness of God, the life of Christ, and the faith of the believers. This morning, we're coming to a message entitled Paul's Gospel. the gospel of completion. Paul's gospel. Why do we give such a title? Because Paul, in the book of Romans, he presents the gospel of God. Actually, we've covered this even not too long ago in the church life here. We got into the book of Romans, and we saw that the book of Romans can be considered the fifth gospel. You know, generally we talk about the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Paul, in this book of Romans, he actually has this phrase, my gospel. My gospel. We read that in Romans 16. My gospel. And he considers, this is the gospel. From Romans 1:1 through Romans 16:27. This is my gospel. And this gospel actually includes everything highlighted in the first four gospels. But there's something further. And in Colossians 1:25, 1:26, Paul has this phrase. He says that he was commissioned to complete the word of God. 1:25. Right? You see there? The stewardship of God which was given to me for you to complete the word of God. So Paul's ministry was a completing ministry. It is something actually that incorporated all the gospel that had been presented to that time, but something added. And it has to do with, in verse 1:26, with this part, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations. Something was given to Paul, and in his epistles he presents the gospel, the full gospel, even the completion of the gospel. Well, saints, I think one key point that we have been enjoying this weekend in from the very first message is, if we could go back to Mark 1:1. Here you have this verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 1, right there, yeah, we have Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. I'd like to say something about this. Concerning his son. Dear saints, the gospel is concerning a person. The gospel is concerning a person. Even in Mark, it says that the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is concerning a wonderful person. You know, when the gospel was first presented to me, and I believe there are others share this kind of experience, when the gospel was presented to me, yes, on one hand, a wonderful person and his love was brought to me. His love. And this captured me. This captured me. And I was just a boy of 7 years old. But this message just melted my heart and captured me, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. And then again, I remember at the age of 12, the Lord visited me in a very particular way, and I consecrated my whole life to the Lord. But in those years, I can tell you that somehow, it seemed like the focus of the gospel in our message, even the message I would present to people, was not so much focused on a person, but on a place. Actually, two places. And so I believe the gospel that many of the Lord's children present, unintentionally is misfocused. Not on a person, but on a place, or two places. And that is, this was the message. That is, I'm a sinner, and I'm going to a certain place. And if you want to escape that place, then you better receive the gospel. And of course, what that person did on the cross, shedding his blood, is the way to escape that place. So my message was focused on that place. And then I would also tell them, oh, and if you receive the gospel, you'll go to a better place. And so my aim eventually became the better place. So thank you, Lord, I'm rescued from that place, and now I am waiting to go to the better place. And that was the gospel. That was, I would say, basically the content of the gospel that I received in my early Christian life. But thank the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for Paul's gospel. Much more is added. Much more is added. That's what we'd like to see. That's what we'd like to see this morning in brief. There's much, the content of the gospel is much richer than just this. Now, I would tell you, saints, and I mentioned to the saints this weekend, even that gospel, that was good enough for me. I love that gospel because especially I fell in love with my Savior. And fell in love with my dear Savior. And my hope was to be with Him forever. That was my hope. Not the place, but to be with Him forever. But what we have been enjoying this weekend is a kind of expanded view of the content of the gospel. And I'd like to say something about these two words, maybe a little later. That is, the content and the commission. The content and the commission. Saints, we have a commission to preach the gospel. But to fulfill that commission adequately, we all must know and we all must experience the content. Then when we go with a message that is a testimony. That is a testimony in our living. Then our going in our commission will be more effective. Okay, so let's go to next verses here. Let's go to Romans 16. This is the verse that Paul says, my gospel. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. That is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Even Paul, in his presentation, the first point he makes is that the gospel is a proclamation of a person. Proclamation of a person, right? And then he says that this gospel is according to the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. Brothers, could we put the outline point? We have a few points here. I hope that you're able to read them. How about we read, whoever can read this. Let's read the first point. Paul's gospel. Amen. The next point, too.
Paul's gospel is the full gospel, including the teaching concerning Christ, the body, and the local churches.
Now, here we have verses from Romans, and we're not going to take the time to read all those verses, but in the book of Romans, when Paul says, my gospel, he presents not only redemption, but he also presents the matter of the tripartite man. And he presents the matter of the triune God saturating the tripartite man. From his spirit to his soul and even to his body. And then Paul presents the matter of the body in chapter 12. And he doesn't stop there. Eventually, he goes on to show the matter of the local churches. The local churches in chapters 15 and 16. And if you read Romans 16, I think we enjoyed this very much in our study here some time ago. The practicality of the local churches is presented in this book. And this is part of my gospel. The gospel should bring sinners to become sons of God. Of course, redeemed. But the issue should be the body of Christ expressed on the earth in local churches. That is my gospel. That is my gospel. Let's read these following points here. Let's continue. The gospel is the proclamation
of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery.
Okay, how about brothers? The next one. The gospel
of God is a proclamation and a visual public announcement. The Lord Jesus and the apostles proclaim the gospel.
Amen. Sisters. Amen. Brothers.
Proclamation of Jesus Christ is according to the revelation of the mystery. This mystery is mainly of two aspects.
Amen. This mystery. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll stop there. Paul talked about the revelation of the mystery. And in his writings, Paul develops this. And he talks mainly about two mysteries. One is the mystery of God. That's in Colossians 2. The mystery of God. And the mystery of God is Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. Christ is the definition, the expression, the explanation of God. But there's a verse in Ephesians that talks about the mystery of Christ. And if you read those verses in Ephesians 3, in those verses, what Paul presents is that the mystery of Christ is actually the church. But he describes the church in a very particular way. In Ephesians 3, when it talks about the mystery of Christ, what he mentions there is that the Gentiles, the nations, are to be what? Fellow heirs in the same body.
Amen.
And fellow partakers. Fellow members. He uses these three terms. Fellow heirs, fellow members, and fellow partakers. And also in Ephesians, he talks about the bringing together of the Jews and the Gentiles and bringing the two into one new man. One new man. Brothers and sisters, this is included in my gospel. In Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel actually not only rescues people out of a negative situation, out of condemnation, but what we see is that we are brought to a situation in which the body of Christ is produced. And this body of Christ is the one new man. And that one new man accomplishes God's original intention. You know, God created man in his image and with his dominion. But the fall came in and to interrupt and to carry man away from God's original intention. The gospel is actually the presentation of what Christ accomplished to recover man and bring him back to a state of accomplishing God's original intention.
Amen.
And how is that? Actually, that is to create one new man. One new man. And this new man, which is the church, comprised of so many peoples who experience this salvation in full. This man, this one new man, has God's image and God's authority to accomplish his eternal goal, that is, to have a corporate expression. So praise the Lord for this gospel, the gospel of completion. The gospel of completion. OK, Okay, I'd like to go to Ephesians 3:6, if you could, brothers. Ephesians 3:6, toward the bottom. It should be on the list there, brothers. Not there? Okay, that's okay. Oh, it's there. Yes, thank you. Okay, let's read this together. Amen. So here you see, we are, as the Gentiles, fellow heirs, fellow members, and fellow partakers. You know, this conference has been being called the Gospel to All the Nations. The Gospel to All the Nations. And we have a commission from the Lord to bring the gospel to all the nations. But this word Gentiles, or the word nations in the New Testament, is the same Greek word. The same Greek word. And it is actually the word ethnos. Ethnos. You know, usually when we hear this word nations, even in the scripture, we may think of a geopolitical entity. But actually, from the New Testament, this word is referring to ethnicities. Ethnicities. That is that we need to preach the gospel to all ethnicities. Amen. This is our commission. This is our commission. So, saints, when the Lord commissioned us to go and disciple all the nations, this means to disciple all the ethnicities. Amen. Right? Amen. And then we have Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, I think we're very familiar with this verse, says, "You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and what? Unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know, when I was a very young Christian, in the Brethren denomination, every now and then we would have missionaries come. And there'd be a special time where the missionaries would come who went to faraway lands, and they'd come back and give a report. And sometimes the brothers that I was with would give a whole session. And these testimonies were very inspiring. And so when I was young, I had such an aspiration. I would like to go. I would like to go. But I'd have to admit, this thought was somewhat romanticized. I thought of going to faraway lands. You know what the faraway lands I was thinking of? Africa, Asia, and South America. That to me was the uttermost part of the earth. But you know, this weekend we've been having a lot of fellowship over this point, this burden. And this came out of the fellowship. You know, the United States is really quite a country, quite a particular country. And we know this is considered, and we learned this actually in our history books when we were junior highers, this is called the melting pot. This is the melting pot of humanity. And so do you know, saints, do you know, in this country, or to this country, the Lord has brought all the nations, all the ethnicities, all the ethnicities. And actually, I was always inspired by this in this verse concerning the uttermost part of the earth. But we like to try to always help the saints. It starts with your Jerusalem. It starts with Jerusalem. You shouldn't be just dreaming about the uttermost part of the earth and overlook your own Jerusalem. The ones that are right around you, right? But do you know that actually if you're living in New York City, now your Jerusalem includes just about everyone from the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord has brought Africa to New York City, or actually to the United States. But here, as you brothers could testify, we have a little bit of everything. Maybe a lot of everything. The Lord has brought those countries that I thought about. China, Vietnam, India. The Lord has brought all those countries to now, not only to New York, but to become my Jerusalem. You know, in some of our neighborhoods, you know, there people come from everywhere. And you could have Indian next door, Chinese here, African across the street, South American over there. Actually, in Manhattan or Brooklyn, you could have them on the same floor in your building. And even here, saints, we have a representation the Lord has brought from all the uttermost parts of the earth. And here we are. So, saints, we need to fulfill this commission. But I would say in the United States, but more strictly here in New York City, we have such a golden opportunity to fulfill this commission. Thank the Lord that He has brought peoples from the uttermost part of the earth to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our workplaces, and now the uttermost part of the earth is our new Jerusalem. And we have the opportunity to stand with the Lord in the fulfilling of this commission. So saints, we have had, as we've mentioned in these few months, the church here has always had the burden for the gospel. But it does seem that in the last year or so, the Lord has really been guiding us and focusing us. We must pick up this commission to bring the gospel to all the nations, and to have a broadened heart, for the fulfilling of this commission. It seems he has done something in the outward environment already. We just need to lift up our eyes and look on the field, and we just need to have a broadened heart to join one with the Lord for this desire for all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. So may the Lord open our eyes. May the Lord open our eyes, and may we join with the Lord in this desire, and may He have a way to have our hearts more broadened. And at the same time, may we enjoy the rich content of the gospel, and have even an expanded, enlarged view of the gospel, so that we have more to present to all those around us. Amen. Now, saints, of course, for this conference, you saw how many the Lord brought from so many places. There are some brothers who have been, you could say, spearheading this burden in different parts of the country. And we just realized in our fellowship, we're just going in parallel. The burden that we've had here, these brothers have shared. And so we'd like to give some of them an opportunity to share their burden, to share a little, so that we could all go on and be strengthened in the going on of this burden. So brothers, I don't know who would like to. Scott, maybe you come. Scott Finney is in the church in Spokane, Washington. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. It is good to be in the fellowship of the triune God.
Amen.
And His desire to get His reproduction, His multiplication in the church and through the church.
Amen.
And so, as our brother has shared, the Lord does have a desire to reach all the ethnos,
Amen.
All the ethnic groups.
Amen.
And this is because what Satan has done has exactly the opposite of what the Lord's expression is. He has built up an enormous, almost impossible and unsurmountable factor of division. But once we touch the divine gene of the triune God, we enter into a oneness that will be a triumph over all that Satan has done, and that will issue in the expression of the one new man. Amen. And we just want to share our heart and our feeling that we feel is of the Lord for your prayer and for your supply and your support. The move of the Lord in this country has been unique. The United States is the only country that has carried out historically what's called the Great Experiment. And the Great Experiment means this, that no one here is a native, everyone is an immigrant from somewhere else. No other nation on the planet has dared to carry that out. Even the indigenous Native Americans come from Upper North Mongolia. So if everyone was told to go back home, only the animals will be left here. We are a unique setting of human beings on the whole planet. And our national motto testifies to that. I don't know if they knew what they were saying when they mentioned what is our national motto. It's not "In God We Trust." Maybe it used to be that as a nation. But actually, our national motto, which is found on every penny, nickel, dime, quarter, 50-cent piece, and $1 bill, and also on the president's seal and the president's flag, is E Pluribus Unum. And E Pluribus Unum is a Latin phrase, out of many, one. Who would have known that the Lord would set up a nation that would at least have as its ideal, out of many, one? Surely, it must mean this is the welcome mat for the one new man. Amen. Only God could have arranged that. And it's so marvelous that we have found that the Lord's feeling to reach all ethnicities also includes this ethnic group of Africans and African Americans in the United States. And in this country, people of African descent are only 12% of the population, and typically have been anywhere from 9 to 12% of the population. But so much of American history has been focused on this ethnic group in the way of measuring, is there democracy? Is there equality? Is there fairness in this country? And I believe that is sovereign of the Lord, because the only place there is fairness and equality and righteousness is in the one new man.
Amen.
And so what we see are people striving and fighting for rights. And we see an anti-testimony of oneness, especially regarding the African-American experience in this country. And yet, the Lord has planted the seed of the Lord's recovery on this planet and in this United States to be a testimony to all the nations. And it's so precious that by doing so, he has allowed even BFA, which has distributed across this country so much of the literature of the ministry, almost two-thirds of the recipients have been people of African-American background. And there's an enormous response among people that are known as Black Americans to the Word of God and to the interpreted Word of God through the ministries of Watchman Nee and Brother Lee. And yet, when you look in the church life, there's such a shortage. There's such a large underrepresentation of people of African descent in the Lord's recovery in the United States. There are about 30,000 saints across this country in the churches, but there are only about 350, maybe 380 African Americans, which is a large misrepresentation. That's only 1.2% of the saints in the Lord's recovery are of African or African-American descent. But in this country, that segment of humanity is 12%. So in the Lord's recovery, we feel there's a feeling of the Lord, not regarding race, but regarding ratio. And that there should be a further amplified expression of the one new man through this aspect of the African American. And we believe the Lord wants to increase that testimony. There are 33 million African Americans in the United States, but only 350 are in the church life. That means the gospel needs to be preached. Amen. Not the gospel of one place to another place, because they already have that, but the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
And the gospel of the kingdom is the announcement of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the means and the thoroughfare and the reality of opening up the divine species to the human race.
Amen.
To cause humans to become sons of God.
Amen.
Under the reign of God.
Amen.
Under the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And full of the life of God.
Amen.
And all of the totality of the life activities of God's life.
Amen.
To the extent that we become the species of God on this earth.
Amen.
And what the Lord wants to do is so precious, because we believe what we're seeing as we've been fellowshipping and seeing something of the Lord's move in Houston along these lines. And now here, you know, New York City, of course, has the highest number of people of African descent, 2.2 million in this city. And that's quite a large number. And when I mentioned about the BFA responses, there is in the heart of many African American people a desire to know the things of the Lord. The years of slavery in this country has produced a longing to know reality. For 225 years, slavery existed, but that created a cavity inside of 75% of the 4 million that were eventually set free to be ones who knew something of the Lord Jesus. And so that's quite a seedling there put in. And then we know also with the experience of segregation in this country, many, I would say probably 95% of African Americans have only found refuge in the church environment in order to navigate, in order to get through situations of oppression. So they're very familiar with the things of the Lord, and they're very respectful of the Bible. And you and I have the divine revelation of Paul's gospel from that Bible to pass on to them. The only thing is, Lord, how and what can we have a way to do so? Not for a black version of the church life, but for the one new man.
Amen.
And we believe that through fellowship and through prayer and through coordinating with the co-workers, the Lord will do something along these lines. We fully believe this is something of the Lord.
Amen.
And we're so happy to be here in New York City. And when you consider the response of the BFA nationwide, listen to this. That response, actually, the majority of the response is in the South up to New York City. Praise the Lord for New York City.
Amen.
And 72% of African Americans live from Texas to Florida up to about New York City. And that's where the response is so far to the ministry. The only question is how to get the burden, the sight, the revelation, the enjoyment, and the taste of this divine kingdom into our fellow Christians for the most part. And we believe there has to be a strategic way, primarily through prayer and primarily through the principle of incarnation, to share with them of people that look like them, that speak like them in a sense, but have seen another vision. And that's what we believe when we speak about the gospel to all the nations for the one new man. We believe the Lord is targeting this segment of humanity. And we're so thankful that we have the ministry, we have the cargo, we have Joseph's rich storehouse to pass on to them. But the Lord needs to overcome through us the matter of culture, the matter of history, the matter of religion. And so in order to overcome that, we need your prayer, and we need all of us to be ones living the God-man life. And so it says here in Colossians 3, talking about the one new man, and then I'll pass on to the brothers here, where there cannot be. brothers and sisters, where there cannot be Greek and Jew. And the Greeks were seeking wisdom. The Jews were seeking signs. In other words, mankind has a tendency to seek substitutes for Christ. But there cannot be substitutes for Christ in the one new man. Amen. And then it says there cannot be circumcision and uncircumcision. That's the religiousness and the religious tendencies, even among African Americans, to trust in their African American church. But in the one new man, there cannot be Amen. Circumcision and uncircumcision. And then, as mentioned, Paul says, barbarian and Scythian. Here refers to culture. And in the new man, there cannot be cultural walls. And somehow the Lord has to break down the cultural walls between white and black Americans. For one reason, for the one new man. Amen. And then it's mentioned slave and free man. And this refers to social rankings. There's so much hierarchy. There's so much classism. And yet, when we touch the reality of the one new man, all of these walls evaporate. Amen. All of these walls no longer exist. Amen. Because it says, Christ is all and in all. Amen. And that word all in the Greek word means everyone. Amen. Christ is you. Amen. Christ is me. Amen. None of us belong in the one new man. Amen. Only Christ. Amen. This good news needs to be proclaimed, needs to be announced, needs to be dispensed, needs to be infused into 33 million African Americans for the sake of the one new man. Amen. This is the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom that the Lord is seeking to end this age. Amen. We believe that the United States, the beacon of democracy, is really the beacon of the one new man. Amen. May the Lord so dispense himself, may the Lord so work himself into this segment of humanity for God's expression and for Satan's shame. We're so thankful. We just want to pass on our feeling. We just believe that the Lord will do it to end this age. Amen. Thank you, saints. Amen. Amen. Brother Allen?
From the church in Houston.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the blending.
Amen.
So good to be here meeting as a church in New York City.
Amen.
I am from the church in Houston, but right now I'm in the church in New York City.
Amen.
And you know, saints, this is a great mystery, actually. I want to ask, where's Sister Kerthine? Okay, she's from Houston also. Have you ever been to New York City? This is your first time. But let me ask you, sister, did you come home this weekend?
Yes.
Absolutely. This is, for us, it's a normal experience, but it's really a great mystery. As Brother Ricky shared, actually, the mystery of Christ is the church, saints. Where else can someone like Kerthine or me, we could come to a city that we've hardly been to before, meet with people that we've never really seen or met before, but realize we are with family.
Amen.
This is a reality that we have in the churches and saints. It needs to be spread and propagated. We live in a highly polarized society full of hatred, right? Where else can this E pluribus unum be worked out? Only in the church life, saints. And you look at the history of this country. Yes, this country is based on a great, grand, and noble ideal. But in our human society, we have yet to fulfill it. But I do believe that only in the churches can we have this kind of reality. You know, if you look at the history, even going back to Great Britain, for example, we did have in this country, as Brother Scott said, 225 years of slavery. Well, the abolitionist movement to end slavery was spearheaded by the Lord's people in this country. It was actually not so much a social and political movement, it was a spiritual movement by the Lord's people who wanted to abolish slavery. And even it began actually more so and strongly in Great Britain. You know, we all love this hymn, Amazing Grace, right? It was written by a man who called himself a wretch. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. His name was John Newton. He was a slave trader. This was his business. But the Lord gained him. Isn't that amazing? Someone who trafficked in human souls could be saved. Of course, we're all the wretch. We all realize that, right? That's why that hymn is so sweet to us. Well, he influenced a young man named William Wilberforce, who was a brother there in Britain, and he was a member of Parliament. And starting about 1787, sorry for the history lesson, but there's a context to all this. William Wilberforce began to labor in Parliament to end the slave trade. It took 20 years. By 1807, he was able to get Parliament to pass a law to end the slave trade. That was the same year, I believe, that John Newton passed away. John Newton charged him to labor in this kind of way. Even he testified his soul that he was haunted by the souls of 20,000 men, which was roughly the number of slaves he felt like he had transported to the New World. But the point being, there's a history here, saints, and it's really the Lord's people that will spearhead the move to bring about the reality of the one new man. Eventually, there's a university founded in this country called Wilberforce University, named after this one. He also continued to labor, and by 1833, he outlawed slavery in the British Empire. So that was in 1833. Of course, we know in our nation, we had to end up fighting a civil war to end slavery. That was about 20-some years later. And we all know the history, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But eventually, he was able to even outlaw the slave trade. But saints, here in this country, there are many abolitionists who appreciated him. They founded a university in Ohio called Wilberforce University. Anybody heard of it? It's a small university. A few people have heard of it, maybe. And it was the first HBCU founded in this country, historically black college and university. 1856, pre-Civil War. So it was an underground university at first. And so they always served African-American young people. And then growing up in this country in the 60s myself, I was always bothered by this question of all the hatred that we see, all the problems that we see. And I was a very idealistic young man. And I had the opportunity to go to Wilberforce University, so I went there. Because I wanted to work out this kind of e pluribus unum ideal. It's a good ideal. And I believed in man. I believed in our ability to work it out, saints. Well, I went there. I was the only white student at that university. And I didn't realize I was breaking, by that time, an over 100-year tradition.
Praise the Lord.
And yes, I wish they had said, praise the Lord. Traditions are good to break, actually, but I was not so well received. I won't give you the details, but it was a learning experience. We go to college to learn, right? It was a learning experience. I went in there, I was 17, I was young. I started out my freshman year, naive, idealistic, wide-eyed 17-year-old. 1 year later, I was a jaded, cynical 18-year-old. And what the Lord managed to accomplish then was I no longer believed in man. I believed in our ability at one point as a society that we could raise up a new society free of bigotry and hatred and racism, right? Well, wrong. After a year, I was convinced that's not going to happen. So that was the point I needed to get to. By the Lord's mercy. About a year later, I was on a summer job in Houston, Texas. I got saved by the Lord's mercy. And I hear about this place in Houston. And I was this kind of long-haired guy. And I hitchhiked around the country anyways. And someone gave me the address of the meeting hall there in Houston. So I'm hitchhiking across Houston. And this car passes me. This young African-American man, okay, you have to remember where I was at and what all my experience was. sticks his head out the window and he shouts at me, "Praise the Lord." It was Clem Rogers here. He didn't know me, I didn't know him. But I knew somehow they have to be going where I'm going. And so I began to wave, hey, stop. And they pulled over, picked me up. They had a man in there named Kenny Garza and had a blonde-haired guy in there named Tom. That was the three brothers that picked me up. And I knew right away, this is different from what we saw in our society. Point is, saints, don't want to take a lot of time, but we are like a gem in human society. The Lord's recovery is. We're a unique place. This is the only place, despite the political aspirations, the ideals many of us in our generation had. Many of us wanted to see an end to slavery. We engaged in, see an end to even discrimination, for example. Slavery's over, but we still wanted to see an end. We engaged in political processes, a lot of activity. Eventually now, by 2016, has the relations, we have to ask ourselves honestly, between black and white, for example, has it improved, saints, in our society? It seems like there's just as much or more hatred and polarization than ever. This is the only place, saints, that we can see the Lord do something real, to where there cannot be. It's not just a matter of whites and blacks getting along. It's a matter where there's not whites or blacks. There cannot be. Christ is every man. Christ is in every man. And so, saints, you know, as Scott said, I hope, you know, we can all pray. I hope we can all rise up corporately, all the members, to preach the gospel, saints, to preach this gospel of the kingdom to a lost and dying society. I hope we can even be practical. You know what the gospel, saints, you have to make a plan. If you mean business, you have to make a plan. I would just give that word to, you know, encourage you. Every day, plan to say something. I want to get the name Jesus out of my mouth every day. I told the Lord that. To someone that's maybe not heard that name too much. You know, in Song of Songs, it says his name is his ointment poured forth. So you realize when you speak Jesus, when you say his name to someone, you're anointing them. You think New York City needs some ointment? We can practically, saints. And so one way practically, every day I put these cards in my shirt pocket. This is just the little practical matter. You could put tracts, cards, but I put these little cards and they offer you a free Bible. Yep, that's my hotel key. Anyways, I can usually get it out quicker than this. But anyways, it offers you, it's a Topstone card, Bibles for America card actually. And it has all the information you need to order a Bible. And that usually opens up people, many times will say, well, I don't understand the Bible. And then you have an opportunity to share something. Most people don't understand the Bible. And I explain to them, that's because you don't know the person who wrote the Bible. And if you've ever read someone else's mail, you can't understand it. You have to know the person who sent you the letter, right? And usually it opens a way and you can say something to them, you know, about the Lord. But I'm just saying practically, saints, make a plan every day. Put something on your person to pass out. You know, when I do that, I will testify. I don't get the Lord's name out every day. But there's a chance, since I have a card or tract in my pocket, there's a chance I will. If I don't put something in my pocket, it's almost 100% guarantee I'll never say something to the Lord. But it helps, saints. These are just practical things. With the gospel, I hope we can all be definite, open to the Lord, make a plan to speak him to somebody. Amen. Yeah, turn it on. Yeah.
This is Brother Willie Wise. Brother Willie is from Bellevue, Washington, state of Washington. But he, because of this burden, is now spending maybe up to half his time in Houston with the brothers. This is Brother Clem Rogers. He's serving in the church in Houston.
Clem. Sorry. We stand together because we're twins.
Yeah. Amen. We're very thankful that we could be here in the church in New York and could fellowship this burden. And even this weekend, it's been a marvelous time. Marvelous time. You know, the verse that was mentioned earlier was Matthew 24:14. Sometimes I get confused with the gospel of the kingdom.
Right, right.
Yes.
For a testimony.
This is amazing. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or will be preached in the whole inhabited earth.
Amen.
For a testimony to all the nations. Now this is the part that even this weekend was enlightening to us. The nations came into existence, you know, if you talk about politically, in Genesis 11, divided by the languages, and they went in all their separate directions, and yet what the Lord intends to do is to bring into being, and He has brought into being, the one new man.
Amen.
Made up of all the nations. Formally, and brothers and sisters, this is amazing.
Yes.
The Lord needs a testimony.
Amen.
Of the oneness, the genuine oneness, the oneness of His body expressed on the earth.
Amen.
He will get it. Amen.
Amen.
And we brothers have been in this burden, and the Lord has really led us over the last several years to first of all get into or come to the incense altar of prayer.
Yes.
And to exercise in this way to before the Lord, to give the Lord the way. And then we had several times of fellowship with the co-working brothers, and that has helped in regard to even our direction, how we should go forward. And we had a time in Houston in September, and this is our second time of a conference here in the States. Oh Lord.
Amen.
This weekend. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What would you say, Brother Willie?
What I would say this weekend is that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And I would say, as Brother Scott mentioned, we're not here for a African American aspect
That's
of the church
right.
life.
That's right.
That's not why we're here, saints.
Amen.
When we were encouraged by some of the senior co-workers to begin to log time at the incense altar to see how the Lord would lead us, we realized that we were under the leadership of the head.
Amen.
Through the body. So this Amen. Move is for all men. This is the move of the body of Christ.
Amen.
It just so happens that we are now fishing on a certain side of the boat.
That's right.
That's right. When we That's first, right. I like these verses that I'm about to mention. When Clem and I both first came in some years ago, we right. endeavored. We endeavored.
Very much so.
Not to contact anyone of our own
yes.
ethnicity. Anyone of our own ethnicity. Why? Because we saw something. What the Lord wanted, and that is one new man. And if He wanted one new man, then we could not isolate ourselves among, excuse me, brothers, black folks. We had to be what? A person who has put on, and this is the verse that I wanted to bring up, put on Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that means we had to put off something. And what did we have to put off? We had to put off the old man. With the old element. With the old constitution.
Amen.
We had to put off all of that. And Scott mentioned something, and I would like to say it in this way. Black folks are, African Americans are caught in a little Jericho. And this Jericho has, you mentioned three walls, I'm going to mention a fourth wall, and that is not just history, not just religion, not just culture, but there's also a tradition. And I would say not just African Americans, but all of us are caught in these little walls that keep us enclosed in our own Jericho. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, and I would like to just read, it's a sister verse to what you mentioned, Scott. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, in verse 27 it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ." You've put on not Nigeria. You've put on not Asia. You put on not the Philippines. You didn't put on the American culture. You put on Christ.
Amen.
And in Christ, there cannot be a Jew. There cannot be a Greek. But listen to this, and I like this one. There cannot be slaves. Slavery is over outwardly, and it should be over inwardly, because we have put on Christ. And then it says this in the end of this verse, where we are all one. So because of that,
yes,
because of this matter of the Lord's desire to have one new man,
amen,
we begin to coordinate.
Amen.
We went to Houston, and then to coordinate to go on to the HBCUs, which are little Jerichos, and the Lord needs to break down those walls.
Amen. That's right, to release these peoples, these nations, to be in the one new man.
Amen.
And so our desire is to build up the one unique body of Christ.
Amen.
To have the expression on the earth, as we all do in the recovery. To have the expression of Christ in the one new man.
Amen.
Amen.
So this expression should be the burden, not just of the of the brothers who are of African descent.
Right.
Listen, Clem and I are Africans.
Right.
And so just by virtue of what you see up here, we're burdened for Africans.
Right.
And that's African descent. But we're also burdened for those from China.
Amen.
We're also burdened for those from the Philippines. We're also burdened for the United Nations here in this United States. So we hope that not just, we're burdened for all men.
Amen.
And not just, we hope that the prayer would be the prayer of the body to release those who have been held in captivity so many years. And now the releasing has to be something that is inward, saints.
Amen.
Oh, yes. As was mentioned, slavery is over, but slavery is not over. Slavery is not over.
Yeah.
But in one new man, slavery is over.
Mm.
And so there needs to be a targeted prayer for all men.
Amen.
And right now, we hope that we all could join together as one man and focus, a laser focus of our prayer for African and African descent
people. Amen.
Satan is doing his best to keep everyone enclosed, even with the recent activity in the United States through these, the last 18 months.
Right.
Listen. Satan did a scattering work in Genesis chapter 11.
Mm.
But the Lord right now is doing a gathering work.
Amen. Gathering into one.
And we want to enter into the burden with the head.
Amen.
So so Satan is trying everything to keep people enclosed in their little, Ricky took us to Brother Ricky took us to a place in Brooklyn, and we got on the subway. And we got on the subway in Grand Central Station. And my first time, I love it. And so we got on the subway in Grand Central Station, and there was a certain kind of clientele on that train. Then as we continued to move, navigate through, mm-hmm. we got to, I forget where we got to. And then, but anyway, we got to East New York. But en route, you could just see everything change. Then all of a sudden I looked around, Ricky, we're just sitting there, and you know, coming, going. And then I thought, everyone on the train now is black. Then when we got to Brooklyn, I realized, this is the section.
Yeah.
We're there.
Wow.
On the one hand, I was so happy. On the other hand, I wasn't happy. Why was I not happy? Satan has, boom, put everyone here, and everyone here, and you're over here, and you're over there, scattering us again. Mm. And then, so many other things that's going on with the police. Mm. We are fighting, we're wrestling, dear saints.
Yes.
We're wrestling to free the minds of people.
Amen.
So that they could enter into the one new man.
Hallelujah.
So we're so happy that we could be here as participants with you.
Amen.
And the Lord to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, to do what he
to wants. Be expressed.
Amen.
With the proper ratio in all the churches so that then the end can come.
Can come. Amen. No. Okay. That's good.
This is the conclusion of this weekend. And the burden for this morning is Paul's gospel, the completing gospel. And Paul in Romans 16:25, he called this is my gospel. And this gospel is the burden for him to complete the word of God. And I believe the burden for this weekend is how can this Paul's completing gospel become ours?
Amen. Amen.
And as I was listening this morning and hearing the testimonies, the sharing of the brothers, I thought in order for this Paul's gospel to become our gospel, we need to have a change of our outlook. By which I mean that we are now, at this moment, we can look backwards, but in order for us to complete this gospel, this burden, we need to expand our views from the now to the past to now to the future.
Amen.
Amen.
And I hope the sharings this weekend, the fellowship this weekend, will enable us to be freed from the limited view of the past to include this expanded view of the future.
Amen.
What do I mean is this. I was thinking about when we talk about the gospel. Yes, we are very thankful we are here at this moment, May the 8th, 2016, and we all enjoy the time here together. But in doing so, we cannot help but to look back where we were and how the Lord has brought us here. And it is wonderful. And we must have that kind of a sense of gratitude, what the Lord has done and what the Lord has brought us here. But the Lord, to bring us to this present moment, is not for us to remain here, to enjoy this moment.
Right.
But it must aspire us or inspire us to look ahead.
Amen.
And that inspiration must free us from our personal concerns, from our being delivered, I borrow Ricky's phrase, from that place to a better place. That is not the purpose of the completing gospel.
Amen.
Paul, when he said, my gospel, Paul was not just enjoying what he was delivered out on from the way to Damascus, but what the Lord has brought him into.
Amen.
And that's why he could write 1 Timothy chapter 2, God desired all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. And actually in our fellowship this weekend, some brothers brought up the verses from Haggai chapter 3, talks about the desires of the nation.
Amen.
We must, dear brothers and sisters, we must receive such a burden from the Lord that it is that God's desire can become, that so that he can become the desire of the nations.
Amen.
That is a purpose of the gospel for all the nations.
Amen.
Not even limited to any particular ethnic groups. Yes, we are thankful the Lord brought us here.
That's right.
And it is, and brought us to this moment so that we can expand, be freed from this limited view, not only for our personal gain of the gospel, and not even for the, pardon me for saying that, not only even for my own ethnic groups benefit from the gospel, but the gospel of God, who desires all nations to be saved, all men to be saved, and we must have that burden. That the gospel of the kingdom must reach all inhabited earths. And it has become so clear to us, I believe it has become clearer this weekend, that the whole inhabited earth is here, represented by all the new arrival of all the new immigrant groups every day, particularly into our neighborhood. It becomes our Jerusalem.
Amen.
And I believe even as we reach out to our new neighbors, our new co-workers, our new fellow students, and those that we meet every day, it will not only reach them, but it will expand us, that we will enter more into God's desire, that all men to be saved and come into the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
And dear brothers, this is the tremendous commission the Lord has committed to us, to all those who believe in him, to all those his disciples, that this is a commission he has given in Matthew chapter 28, go and disciple all nations.
Amen.
And baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, so that they may enter into the desire or the purpose of the triune God.
Amen.
And that, of course, brings us back to Genesis 1:26. God's desire is not just to save us as individuals, but God's desire is to save us as a corporate man.
Amen.
The corporate man, as he created, the corporate man before the fall of man, the corporate man before that Tower of Babel. And that is the recovery. Back to the beginning.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I believe that this is what the Lord is turning the new page among us.
Amen.
Amen.
We all need to be brought into this, that Paul's gospel, the completed gospel, God's desire can become ours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe what the Lord has brought us into, the burden for spearheading the Gospels for every ethnic groups. Actually, this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning.
Amen.
And may the Lord enlarge us.
Amen.
Fill our vision.
Amen.
With what he desires.
Amen.
So that his desire, that he can become the desire of all the nations.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we want to sing 151, I think.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. How about we sing again 151?
Amen.
Amen. Then after that, we can conclude with some prayers. Amen. 151. Amen.